Some of you have a sense when you are experiencing some conflict with your beloved, with your spouse, your partner, your treasured person, when you're experiencing some conflict, maybe you've had the experience where you are passionately trying to communicate your point. And while you passionately attempt to communicate this point that means so much to you, you also have the sensation that, in fact, you are not doing what you would like to do. Now, sometimes preaching is like that. And that's what might happen this morning at 10 o'clock. I suspect it is what happened at 8 a.m. If you have been around this place for a couple of years and we have gotten to know each other, then you have some sense that story is exceedingly important to me. I don't talk about the Bible week in and week out because it is a part of my job description. I talk about the Bible because the story of God's people seeking out a deeper relationship and partnership with God in creation provides a trajectory for my own life. It informs direction, it informs practice, and it informs how I show up in relationships. The story we have in the Bible sits at the very center of my life. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not talking about being a quote-unquote Bible thumper. I'm not even talking about reading the Bible each day as spiritual practice, though that has been a practice of mine. What I'm trying to say about the story of the Bible is that my approach to story is maybe more grounded in my undergraduate history degree than it is my seminary degree. History being, as Willie Morris once told me at Schultz's Beer Garden on an afternoon in Austin, history is the mother of all disciplines. And if he were alive today and we had a chance to chat, I think I would say, Willie, I hear you, but I think it's story, not his story. I think story is the mother of all disciplines. It informs, directs, soothes, nurtures, heals, and sometimes upsets or unsettles us from the place where we've become rigid or fixed. Now, I say all this because I want you to know how important I believe the stories of the Bible are, and this is very important, and I want us to be able to hold them with soft hands. I want each of us and all of us together to be able to unbraid the strands of these sacred stories. I want us to be able to examine them intellectually and emotionally and spiritually. I want us to be able to look at these strands and declare, I am for this. Or alternatively, this is contrary to my experience and thought and heart, and I reject it, or I allow it to reject me without either the story or me losing any power at all. So hear me clearly, these stories we read in this place week in and week out, and let's be real here, this is a strange tradition that we have. At least in this day, sitting shoulder to shoulder, eyes front, listening to a story told or retold in a group out loud. Nowhere does that happen anywhere other than a place like this. It's a really eccentric practice these days. But these stories are important. They are at least half of what we do as worshiping people each week. We have two things. We have story and we have table. And as a people of faith, we need an expressed competence with both. We need to know how to live with story, and we need to know how to live around a table with each other. I wish I could write this down somewhere and post it rather than just, you know, a one-off Sunday morning kind of thing. You know what we are doing here, living with story and living around table. We are not a people who are on autopilot. We are actively curating lives of love, using story and table as our primary tools. So let's take a little closer look at the stories that we have for this morning and see if I might make my point within the story itself. Our reading from the Hebrew scriptures from the prophet Isaiah is this sort of drumbeat reading that we hear from time to time. I love it. And it's important. It's mostly in the Hebrew scriptures, but not completely in the Hebrew scriptures. And I could characterize this particular piece of prophecy and all the others that are similar as, "Lo, I am always with you" stories. There's a refrain both in the Hebrew and the Christian scriptures that beat that drum's rhythm. To some degree, the psalm that we have is a complementary piece to the "Lo, I am with you" stories. We hear of the power and might of God, of God's work. They are the works of God in a poem on display. Now, I like that. I like that we have to be reminded. I'm glad to know that God's people need to be reminded that, lo, God is always with us. In the moment those stories were being written, as they were told and retold and retold, and even today, I love the idea that we just might not get it all the time, that we might feel somewhat disconnected from the rhythm of the narrative, that we might not be in touch or feeling the presence of God. And then we have these two readings from the Christian scriptures that are somewhat related to the Hebrew scripture, the gospel more than the reading from the Acts. From this piece we have from Luke, and you know, it's an important part of the story, right? It's the John the Baptist piece and Jesus' baptism here. So it's a threshold point in the story, an important part. We have those memorable lines, "This is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased," or from a different translation, "This is my child, chosen and marked by my love, the pride of my life." I think if we're just reading along in the story and just trying to get the content, trying to get the storyline, then perhaps we come away with the idea that, well, God is just working on making God's mark again here and declaring God's identity. "I am God, and I am with you, and I am powerful, and I am specifically Jesus." But if we're living with the story, if we're really letting it sink in way, way beyond the storyline, if we're looking toward partnering with this story, living into it, I hear something different. I hear, "Lo, I am with you always." We humans need some reassurance. We are a discerning people. This life, the God love life we're intending to lead, one that is connected and rich, sometimes it feels elusive. Maybe even like it's not real. Can you hear the story affirm our real human experience. When I hear as the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, I hear that people who were so close to Jesus were still struggling with clarity. I hear that part of this experience of living closely to God, that part of the experience is discernment. Well, is it? Or isn't it? What's happening here? That I hear that uncertainty and doubt is common rather than uncommon, and that God reaches toward us in those times rather than moving away from us. It's just a part of the process. It's a part of reality. Uncertainty is so much a part of our human experience in attaching to God that at times God has to be explicit. Here he is. This is my child, my beloved, chosen and marked, the pride of my life. And yet we still struggle. I suppose uncertainty and struggle are a part of reality. That if we are struggling and uncertain, then we are normal. We are literally a part of the norm. If we are struggling and questioning and doubting and uncertain, when the story speaks into my life like that, I can tell you, I feel less anxious, more upheld, not rushed, content to sit in the present moment. I feel like I have the time and the space I need to become whole and complex. I feel like there's room to succeed and fail and still make a love-spreading difference in the world. I feel less afraid and more hopeful. When I'm in relationship with the story like that, then the story feels sacred and powerful and alive. So, a little homework this week. Take a story. Take a song, take a movie, take these stories, take them with you, sit with them this week. Don't memorize them, don't parse a verb, don't look at a word. Don't use your head. Use your heart. Lean toward the story with your heart and see what you find there. Amen.